I don't know if anybody was here the last time I gave such a shiur, but I seem to recall about, maybe it was about 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. I don't know how long ago, up in the library, I remember I gave over a shiur of a lot of the themes that I often speak about on the Haggadah. And the truth is, I've been giving this Tuesday night shiur. The Tuesday night shiur is generally a Gemara shiur, and before the Yom Tov, we usually stop the Tuesday night shiur to speak about the halachos of that particular Yom Tov. And I figured, I was actually inspired a little bit by Rabbi Shalom Rosner, who apparently a couple of years ago started doing this, that before Pesach, he actually would go through the entire Haggadah saying, one idea on each part of the Haggadah. I'd never really heard his shiurim, and then this year I happened to have listened to what he did. I thought it was a very beautiful idea. Actually, perhaps one or two of the ideas I'm going to share actually came from his talk, but most of the ideas are the themes that really move me and really speak to me each year at the Seder. So we'll see how much we accomplish. I guess I want to just begin by saying that Rabbi Storch is speaking this coming Thursday in the slot that I normally do to our post-high school yeshiva program, the 20-minute schmooze. So he's giving to the guys, and the theme of what he's talking about is why you should not say vorts at the Seder. Why you shouldn't say vorts at the Seder. So I'm not sure exactly what he's going to say, but I'll tell you what that idea means to me. It's
how
nice
old
that...
is
what? Well, yeah, right. His oldest is Bar Mitzvah now. But I think he's intending more, that it should be an enjoyable and experiential. You're supposed to try to relive Yetzias Mitzrayim on the Seder night, not just to tell vorts. But my what I want to say, and what I hope you'll pick up from at least what I selected to speak about, is that as opposed to just cute gematrias or fancy, interesting ideas. What I try to focus on the Seder night, since it's such an important night to instill emuna in our children and in ourselves, and to pass on the tradition of what it means to be a Jew. So many people look back to the Seder that they celebrated as a kid, and how much chizuk and inspiration and emuna b'Hashem and just real growth that occurs. From the Seder. So I'm going to try to focus on those Torah ideas that I always do when I speak, especially about the Seder, not just to say cute vorts that happen to fit in nicely, but to try to speak about ideas that really speak to the depth of what's going on Seder night. I'll try to do it by going through much of the Seder, not the entire Seder, but going through and sort of, carrying some themes through as we go along. So let's start from the beginning with Kadesh. So I'm going to open with the fact that we all know that we drink 4 cups of wine at the Seder, and generally we assume that the reason we drink 4 cups is based on the 4 languages of Geula. Votseisi v'itzalti v'gaalti v'lakachti. 4 languages of Geula. So the Torah talks about redemption in 4 different words, and therefore we drink 4 cups of wine. But the question is, why exactly does the Torah speak about redemption in 4 different languages? V'hutzesi, I took them out. V'itzalti, I saved them. V'gaalti, I redeemed them. V'lakachti, I took them. What's the idea over here? So there's a beautiful idea of the Netziv, who talks about the fact that it's interesting that the redemption from Egypt actually occurred in stages. If you look at those psukim carefully, the Torah says as follows. Right. First, there was a relaxing of the really, really hard, back-breaking labor. Then, but they were still doing some work, just not back-breaking. But then, the second stage was even that work stopped. Then, HaKadosh Baruch says, I redeemed you means I took you out of Egypt, I took you out of power, and v'lakachti eschem li la'am, I've taken you for me as a nation. That's the 4th step that they were delivered. Even not that they physically left Egypt, but they actually saw all the Egyptians die, and the Hashem separated the Jewish people from the Egyptians, and so the Geula happened, according to the Netziv, at four different stages. And the idea here is that Kiyom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Erenu Neflos, the Navi says that the future Geula is going to be patterned after the current Geula, after the Geulas Mitzrayim. Kiyom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Erenu Neflos, the Pasuk says. The same way that I redeemed you from Egypt, that's the way it's going to be in the future. So the idea is that we try to, sometimes we think we're taking, we don't know, are we taking steps that are really leading up to the Geula? We seem to be going in the wrong direction, but the point of this is that Netziv says that the four cups of wine, the four languages of Geula, is that a person's supposed to know that Geula happens in steps and happens in stages. And first there could be one stage, and you get set up in Medina, and then you have another stage, and then another stage. So we shouldn't have yish, the Netziv tells us, that over the fact that the Geula doesn't seem to be coming. Sometimes it looks like we're going in the wrong direction. But that's why there were four languages, to say that very often Geula, redemption, happens in stages. And that's why Daka we had first Makos, and then there was Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then there was Yamsuf, and then there was Mamre Har Sinai, because right, it doesn't always happen in one fell swoop. Although sometimes you have Yeshua Hashem Keharafayim, it happens all at once. But generally speaking, personal Geulas, personal redemption, and personal growth and development happens in stages. So following Kadesh, we have Urchatz, yes?
Is there a significance of the wine? You know, why four cups of wine as opposed to four?
Yeah, many speak about that. Many speak about that. Apparently, you know, that wine is what we celebrate. It's what we celebrate on. People talk about that. It's a good question, a very good question. Presumably, it's because we celebrate. It might be connected to the fact that it's a kosher bracha. Also, we tie together another aspect that we make a bracha on the benching, we make a bracha on the kiddush and on the haggadah. Each it's like a kiddush. We sanctify each of those things with wine to elevate them, because wine is the way we elevate things. Pashup shat. Many people say out many other things as well. So moving on, urchatz. Of course, we wash without a bracha. And karpas, very, very fascinating topic. That karpas, of course, the Gemara seems to imply that the reason we do karpas is so that the children should ask questions. Very, very strange that we're all of a sudden just beginning the meal before hamotzi, before anything, just with a vegetable. So I saw Rabbi Rasner actually quoted a beautiful idea about why all of a sudden this like piece of celery or potato or, you know, parsley, whatever your custom is, why all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that's front and center. This is like the first, you know, major article of food, you know, food stuff that's being highlighted and centered on. So Rasner actually suggests, he quoted from a Haggadah called Asapra Kavodcha, I believe. It's written by the same person who wrote the Sefer Elohim Mo'adai. So he says that, you know, vegetables, generally speaking, in Yiddishkeit, don't play such a major role. Even maaser of vegetables are only the Rabbanan. So vegetables, you know, generally speaking, yeah, it's a side. There's no major mitzvos that you really accomplish so much with vegetables. We have the maror, but all year long, vegetables don't really play such a major role. So here, by making them the first thing front and center, by making the karpas front and center, we're stressing the idea that tonight, everybody's a king. Everybody's someone special. Even those people who don't normally consider themselves to be special, since this is the night that all of Klal Yisrael acquires Emunah Bashem, so everybody has to feel part of the Seder. Even those people who aren't normally front and center. That's why we highlight the vegetables, the lowly vegetables. The doctors say the vegetables are very important, but most people give vegetables short shrift. So that's the idea. But I want to also stress something else here. And the karpa is a beautiful idea I heard many, many times. Very fascinating. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, on Daf Samach Hey, the Gemara says that that there was a minhag that people used to do, that when they would skin the Karban Pesach, they would take the whole skin out of the Karban Pesach and then take the animal, the flesh, and put it back in the skin and put it on their shoulders. And Rashi says they used to do this like the Yishmaelim used to do. The question is, why are we following what the Yishmaelim used to do? So the Achronim say over here, I believe Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, right, like this, that they say that this is somehow the way they used to do with the Karban Pesach, they used to do a zecher lemechiras Yosef, a zecher lemechiras Yosef. That why all of a sudden the Seder night we're having a zecher lemechiras Yosef? Because the Yishmaelim, right? The Torah says that the Yishmaelim were involved in the sale. They brought Yosef Hatzadik down to Egypt, and it goes further. It goes further. Because Karpas, many people suggest that Karpas, actually, if you look at in the Chumash, on the Pasuk, Ksones Pasim, which was the coat of many colors that was dipped in blood at the time of the sale of Yosef. So Rashi over there writes, Rashi says, Ksones pasim. What's the ksones pasim? Rashi says, Loshon kli milas kimo karpas. Rashi quotes that the coat of many colors is like a silk garment, kimo karpas. Like karpas. Wear karpas like we have in the Gila. Chur karpas u'sechela chuz b'chav le'butz b'argaman. That at Achashverosh's party they had these silk posters and banners and streamers hanging. So you see the ksones pasim, the silk coat, Rashi refers to as karpas, like chor karpas u'secheles, and says Rabbeinu Manoach in his commentary on the Rambam, in Perek Vav of Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah, karpas is zecher, the reason we dip the karpas in salt water, that's a zecher, and the Rambam says dip it in charoses, but the reason we dip the karpas in salt water, the Rambam says, it's a zecher to the ksones pasim, to the coat of many colors, which Rashi refers to as karpas, the coat of many colors that was dipped in blood. So two references we have, the Gemara in Pesachim and Rashi's commentary on the Chumash, that karpas is somehow, on the Seder night, was supposed to commemorate the sin of Mechiras Yosef. Why the sin of Mechiras Yosef on Seder night? So or the Pshat is the Achronim explain why the karpas is Zeichel and Mechiras Yosef. Acharonim say the pshat is, where did it all start from? Where did it all start from? How did we get down to Egypt in the first place? What got us into all the trouble in the first place? What got us into all the trouble in the first place was brothers not getting along with each other, was brothers having hatred for each other, was brothers not respecting each other's differences and not seeing each other's talents and abilities. So it all starts with Mechiras Yosef. If we want to remember what sin caused us in the first place to get down there, Yosef had to go down to Egypt and we had to go down and follow him. The whole thing, that's what the Achronim say. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes this way. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, they say, that's why we do some things, Seder night, Zeichel and Mechiras Yosef, and karpas, because why are you calling a vegetable karpas? What does a vegetable have to do with karpas? No, a vegetable's not karpas. So some say samach, some say other pshatim, but no, the vegetable is just, you want to dip something in and eat it, zecher to the ksones pasim that was dipped in blood, which was the cause of the whole thing to beginning. Fascinating idea about karpas, yeah.
Could that be the
gnus
that
we also? You want to say that's a third shot. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't say that. That's a very good point. That's a good point, right? The Gemara doesn't give that as an example. That's a great point. Let's move on to Yachatz. Yachatz, the fourth part of the Seder. The idea behind Yachatz, breaking the middle matzah, is first and foremost, that the matzah is called for us Lechem Oni. Lechem Oni means a number of things. The Gemara has a number of drushes out of Lechem Oni. The simple pshat is bread of affliction. Lechem Oni means bread of affliction. So the bread of affliction means that it's poor man's bread. It's thin, it's hard. It's poor man's bread, lechem oni. But the Gemara has another drush. So one of the reasons we break the matzah is ma darko shel oni beprusa, the Gemara says. That it's the way of a poor man to eat broken matzah. A poor man doesn't eat a big loaf. A poor man breaks it and he eats a broken piece. Ma darko shel oni beprusa. But the Gemara has another pshat in lechem oni, poor man's bread. The Gemara says, no, it's not poor man's, but lechem sha'onin alav dvarim harbe. That it's bread, matzah is bread, that we recite many things on that bread. And gentlemen, the halacha is, the minhag that we have is that as you're reciting the entire Haggadah, the matzahs have to be uncovered. Because that's lechem she'odin alav dvarim harbe. What does that mean? So Salvechik pointed out, many pointed out, that there's a special halacha that we don't just tell over the story, but we have to, we're mechuyev to tell over the story with props. We're mechuyev to not only tell over the story, but like any good teacher, I watched a model lesson in yeshiva this morning, a guy who's trying out to be a Rebbe. So a good Rebbe, he brought in props. He was talking about the sugya of covering over the chametz. He brought in granola bars and a cover and a fire, and he burnt. And he had, if you're a good teacher, and that's what the Seder night's all about. It's about teaching ourselves and teaching our kids. So lechem she'onin alav dvar ma'abi. You can't just tell a story without props. The matzah has to be a chelek of the mitzvah of Sipur. The matzah is not just there to eat. It's not just a mitzvah sachila. They have a mitzvah to eat matzah night. It's lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe. The matzah is crucial to the telling over the story. That's why at the end we say, Rabbi Gamliel hayo omer, kol shelo omer shlosh dvarim eil pesach liyotzi nechavos. That's why we say at the end of the Seder there, to jump to the end for a second, Rabbi Gamliel says, anyone who doesn't speak about the Pesach matzah mar doesn't fulfill his obligation. The machlok has been shown him, what obligation don't you fulfill? But some say it means, if you don't speak about matzah, you're not yotzi sipur yotzi es mitzrayim. And others say it means, no, if you don't speak about matzah, you're not yotzi matzah. What do you mean? You ate the matzah, you're not yotzi the matzah? What do you mean you ate it? No, but there's a dimension of matzah that matzah has to be part of the fabric of the story. Lechem she'onin alav dvar ma'abi, as we'll see in a second, bavur zeh, lo amarti el b'shoshi, yish matzah umar munachem lufanacha, that the mitzvah of sipur yotzi es mitzrayim has to be when the matzah and the mar, the physical representations of what happened in Egypt, are in front of you. That's why the matzah has to be uncovered. So yachatz, the reason we break the matzah, some say, is because both of these dinim of lechem oni, both, it's not just one or the other. We want to be mekayim both of them. So the lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe should be lechem oni. So the matzah that we're going to have uncovered the whole night as we're saying the story should also be poor man's bread, which is already broken. So that's why you have to break the matzah prior to the Haggadah. And Pashup Shat, you're going to start the Haggadah the next line with Halach Ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction. So if you're going to start with Halach Ma'anya, so you have to break the matzah first. I just want to share also, many people say like this. Chasam Sofer says this. The Sfasema says this Pshat. Many others as well. Rabbi Rosner quoted from somebody else. I forgot already who. The other idea behind Yachatz Matzah, of course, Matzah is so laden with symbolism the whole Seder night. We mentioned before that Matzah is called Lechem Oni, it's poor man's bread. But Matzah is also a symbol of Cheiros. Matzah is very enigmatic in that way, because it also symbolizes Cheiros, because we ran out so fast, we left Egypt, the bread didn't have time to rise. So Matzah, on the one hand, it's crust, it's hard, and it symbolizes Avdus, it symbolizes the poor man's bread. Lechem Oni, but it also symbolizes Cheiros, because we ran out very, very quickly. So Matzah symbolizes that redemption from Egypt. What did I say before? Ki yom tseischa me'eretz Mitzrayim erenu neflos, that the future Gula is going to be patterned after the Gula from Mitzrayim. So we break away half the Matzah, and we put the larger half, the bigger half, we put away, and we hide it over. So the Sfasemis, the Chassidusha, and the Chasam Sofer, who's the Hungarian Chassidusha, they both say the pshat is that we're reminding the Rabbonu Shlom about the Geula HaSeder, because we're going to bring that matzah out all the way back at the end of the Seder, right around Nirtza, where we talk about, right towards the end of the Seder, when we start thinking about the future Geula, because that's the other theme of the Seder. Even though we're reliving the redemption from Egypt, we're praying, B'nisan Nigalo Avosenu, B'nisan Asidin Ligal. So we put away the larger half of the matzah to say, yeah, the geula in Egypt, matzah, which symbolizes the geula from Egypt, that was a small little geula. But what we're hoping for, and what we hide away, the symbolism of hiding the afikom and of taking that bigger piece and hiding it away, is that the future redemption, the future geula, which is going to happen at the end of a long Seder, after it's hidden away, that future geula, we're diving to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we're symbolically saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that geula is going to be even greater, is going to be even bigger. It's going to be patterned after this one. Just like matzah here, there's going to be matzah by that future geula. But many of the Svarim write, that's one of the ideas behind Afikoman, that we put away the larger half to, and eat it at the end to try to be mazkir to the Baruch Shem to daven benisa negalu benisa nasin legal. We're hoping for that time when the tsaros will end and we'll be able to see eretu neflos. We'll be able to see with our eyes even the greater and the more exciting geula.
Why the middle one? What is the significance?
So the reason you have three. Well, why specifically the middle one do we break? That's a good question. Many speak about that. The reason you need three is because you still have to have Lecha Mishnah. You want to have two whole ones also. Why Dafka the middle one? Somebody want to make a suggestion? Why the middle one, Dafka? I don't know. Not sure. Good question. Let's move on. That's true. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, and the Rambam Shita seems to be only need two. 1.5, really. 1.5 months. That's correct. Okay, let's start with Haggadah itself. Halach Ma'anya. One of my favorite ideas I speak about all the time. Question is, why is Halach Ma'anya an appropriate introduction to the entire Maggid? Very, very strange that we're introducing a whole Sipui to this time with this very bizarre formulation, which basically has three parts to it. Part one is Halach Ma'anya de'achal ha'vasonot ha'arad Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate. In Egypt. That's part one. Part two is called the Chvin Yesevi Echol, called the Tzrich Yesevi Yisat. Part two is we invite everybody into the Seder. It's a little strange. They probably started their meals already. It's a little strange to invite them in the middle. Part three, Hashat HaHochel L'shon HaBa B'Arad Yisrael, Hashat HaAvdei L'shon HaBa B'nei Chorin. Now we're here, but next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. So, two questions about Halach Ma'anya. Why is this the appropriate way to begin the whole Maggid, number one? And number two, what do these three seemingly disjointed themes, in one small paragraph, you have three disjointed themes which really seem to be not connected one to the other. This is the bread of affliction. Anyone who wants to come join us, come join us. This year we're here, next year in Israel. What's going on? So the way I always understood it, it's just the opposite. Actually, this one little paragraph actually is a perfect introduction, and it really encapsulates all the themes of the Seder night. Because, as I said before, we don't just try to say vorts, we don't just try to say nice vertlach, we're trying really to recreate and relive the sense of redemption. And in order to relive the redemption, as is one of the themes that's so replete throughout the whole Seder night, first you have to relive the pain and the sorrow. And that's why Maskel B'Gnus is Messiah B'Shvach, as we spoke about before. You have to start off talking about the painful times in our history. You have to start off talking about the difficult times. So Halach Ma'anya, what do we start off? Halach Ma'anya De'achal HaVasana. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate. They had only crusty bread. They had only this matzah to eat. That's setting up the fact that the first thing we're going to be doing the whole Seder night is reliving Avdus, reliving the slavery. And then we say, no, but kol dechvin yesev yechol, anybody wants to come, join us, come. It's not really an introduction. Everybody started their own Seder already. It's not really you're inviting people. Kol dechvin yesev yechol, that's celebrating the fact that nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we can all sit around the Seder and we have what we need. We're all like kings. We can invite anybody who wants to come with us and to join us. That's showing that now we, Baruch Hashem, enjoy Cheiros. That's the second theme of the Seder. And the third theme is, even though we have had that redemption, again, as I said before, we're always davening, and we know that redemption is not complete, it hasn't been fulfilled. Hashat HaHacha, L'shana HaBa B'Arad Yisrael, Hashat HaAvdei, we know we're not done, L'shana HaBa B'nei Chor, we know we're not really finished, we're not really all the way there yet, we're davening for that time where we get to the whole, the future. And similarly, that's why we launch right into afterwards. We launch right into the Manishtana. The Manishtana. You know, the Rambam had since I have for you the text of the Rambam here, let's see if we have it here. The Rambam has a very, very interesting text for the Manishtana that we don't have. Although this is interesting. Here the Rambam doesn't say it, so forget that. But here the Rambam doesn't say it. If you look in the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah, though, this is the end of Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah. The Rambam over there says something very interesting. The Rambam says, "V'kan haben shoel." Right? You move away, misalkin akara, right? Some people have the custom right before the manishtana, you move away the seder plate. Take the seder plate off the table. So the kid should ask, what's going on? We're taking the seder plate away. Masal kanakara, v'kan haben shoel, right? The Rambam writes, based on the Mishnah Pesachim, v'kan haben shoel. And then the Rambam says, v'omar hakore manishtana halayla zemikol halaylas. So Rambam's girsa is, what's going on? V'kan haben shoel. And here the son asks, and the guy who's leading the seder says the manishtana. That's the way the Rambam says, but if he doesn't know how to, so then somebody else asks him. So a number of very important things there. But from the Rambam you see that the kid is not supposed to ask manishtana, according to the Rambam. The kid doesn't ask, oh no. All the yeshivas have been teaching all the years, according to the Rambam, that's not the kid. The Rambam writes, the kid doesn't ask the manishtana. The Kana Ben Shoel, because that also answers another question. In the manishtana, the kid asks a bunch of questions that he hasn't seen yet. How does he know? How does the kid know? He hasn't seen two dippings yet. He hasn't seen it. He remembers from last year. Okay. But he hasn't seen it. As he's asking these questions, he hasn't seen it yet. So the Rambam understood. That's the way Rabbi Soloveitchik understood the Rambam. The Rambam understood that, no, V'kana ben Shoel, the kid's supposed to ask whatever's on his mind. Not the four questions. That's why you move the car away. Some say that's why Ramosha Soloveitchik said that's why you wear a kittel. Why you wear a kittel? Ramosha Soloveitchik said, so the kids should ask. That's what Ramosha said. So we do a lot of things so the kids should ask questions. Pour the second cup first, right? The kid should ask, even though the Dalai Kosis is not one of the four questions. So Elamai Vakana Ben Shoel. The whole night's supposed to be the kid's asking whatever's on his mind to ask. But the Kore, the one reading the Haggadah, says the Manishtana because we want to tell the story over Derech She'elo Tshuva, because even he himself has to first appreciate the questions. This theme of Derech She'elo Tshuva is a crucial, crucial theme that we don't just say over the story, but everything is through questions and answers. And the simple, so I saw, quote a name, my good friend, I don't know if this is his original idea, Rabbi Rothwax from Teaneck. Someone told me he said this. I didn't see it anywhere else. Maybe he said it. He said, real freedom is the ability to ask questions. Fascinating. Real freedom is the ability to ask questions, right? When you feel like you just have to do everything, you have to, you can't ask questions, that's not chayr. Chayrus means, again, from a position of strength, but, you know, you have emuna, you have belief, but you want to understand. I want to understand, Rabbanu Shlomo, I want to understand you. I want to know what's going on, Manishtana, why are we doing all this? What's the whole theme? What's the whole idea? That's chayrus. Chayrus is asking questions. Rav Huttner similarly says, Rav Huttner stresses, we'll see in a second, by the Arba Banim also. Rav Huttner also writes, yeah, we have to train ourselves to ask questions. We have to train ourselves to be people who are questioners, who really want to, who are seekers. People who are questioners and seekers will really want to appreciate the truth that we have. The Seder night is about inspiring ourselves to ask questions. Not just the kids. Not the Kana Ben Shoel, but the Omer HaKorei Manishtana. The guy leading the Haggadah is supposed to ask himself questions, even if he knows the answers. Because if we train ourselves to ask, then we will appreciate the answers. The famous idea of the Abarbanel, probably many people heard it, because the big question is, where do we answer the four questions? You never see us answering the four questions. That's the Abarbanel said, a beautiful idea. And how come the Manishtana only has a few ideas, only asks four questions? What do you mean? There's really a whole bunch. You can ask about why four cups of wine. You ask about all kinds of other things that are going on. Abarbanel says beautifully, it's the same thing we said before. We're just asking ourselves one basic question. We're not even asking a question. We're just highlighting to ourselves that the real question is only one question. Manishtana, what a bizarre evening we're having over here. This experience that we're having, because on the one hand, we're experiencing avdus, slavery, and I have two proofs, two eidim, that it's avdus. What are the two eidim that we have avdus? That is the matzah and the maror. Two eidim for the avdus. On the other hand, we have two eidim that it's chayrus. We're dipping and dipping like kings, and we're reclining like free men. So we're asking ourselves, two witnesses that we seem to be recreating slavery, two witnesses that we seem to be recreating freedom. So it's really all one kasha. Manishtana, Lailas, and Mikolas. What a strange night is tonight. Is it tonight about avdus? All the other nights of the calendar, we understand. Either we're celebrating chayrus or we're celebrating avdus. We understand, but tonight we're all confused. It's one kasha. What's going on? So what's the answer? The answer is, no. Avadim hayinu, write the next paragraph. Avodim ayinu l'parav Mitzrayim. Vayotzi'enu Hashem l'kayim Mishem b'yel chazak v'zona tuya. That's taka the answer. The answer is, if you really want to experience freedom, if you want to experience chiras, you have to first experience a sense of avdus. And that's why he didn't ask about other things, because there's only two witnesses. And again, avadim hayinu. I want to stress, avadim hayinu. Hayinu, we were. Not our ancestors were. Not our ancestors were. Part of the night is reconnecting to thousands of years of Jewish history, is feeling one with Klal Yisrael. I find the kids sometimes have such difficulty identifying with this, that we should try to think about our ancestors, what they went through. Not just the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim, but all the Doros were all part of one Klal Yisrael, to try to think about what it means to be part of a continuum of Am Yisrael, of people who had Emunah Bashem, who jumped into the Yamsuf, Lechtech acharai be'eretz lo zrua, ba'midbar be'eretz lo zrua. Avodim hayinu. This was us. B'chol dor v'dor chai avodim liros es atzmo kilu hu yatzim mi Mitzrayim. That's why we say it in the first person. Avodim hayinu l'far Mitzrayim. Then we continue in that paragraph and say, V'ilo hotzi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take us out, harei anu v'aneinu v'aneinu shubadim hayinu l'far Mitzrayim. We would still be there. A little bit strange. We'd still be there. So the Farshim say the Pshat is the spiritual vein. We would still be there because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't taken us out, we were so lowly, we were so assimilated already. We were about to assimilate even to the 50th level. We'll speak about that number of times, second half of the Shir. But what it means that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out at that second, maybe the Jewish people wouldn't still be living in the land of Egypt. Could be we'd be living somewhere else, we'd be living all over the world. But it means, spiritually, our souls would be Mishubad Mayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim, because life was getting so difficult and we were losing what we had, that we felt we were so assimilated. So we have to feel such Hakaras HaTov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered us out. That's why we stress in this paragraph that V'ilo Hotzi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out. It sounds obvious. If he didn't take us out, we'd still be there. Obviously, and who knows where we'd be. But the idea is that he saw fit to redeem us spiritually. That's what it also means. The next piece, Afilu Kulanu Chachamim. Even for all bright people, Kulanu Nivanu Kulanu Yodim Esatara, still Mitzvah Leinu L'Saper. What does that mean? Pashup Shal, like we said before, that the mitzvah of Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is not just about ideas. It's not just about philosophies. It's not just about knowing concepts. It's about action. It's about eating matzah. It's about doing. Safilu Kulan Chacham, we know the story. We've heard it all the years. Intellectually, we might have a grasp on all the esoteric philosophical concepts of Seder night. Still, Afilu Kulan Chachamim, Mitzvah Aleinu L'Saper, because Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is not just an intellectual endeavor, it's not just an intellectual exercise, it's an experiential. It's an experiential, it's an emotional and experiential adventure. And therefore, even if you're a Chacham, you still have to know. Next, Maaseh, Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elezer ben Azariah. All these rabbis got together and they were sitting in Bnei Brak and they were speaking to Yitzias Mitzrayim the entire night. So many ideas here, but I just want to say one thing. What a bracha it is for people to be studying Torah and speaking about inyanim of the spirit and not look at the clock. Not look at the clock. Can you imagine? They were sitting there doing it, you know. How many of us, you're sitting in a shir, you're sitting in by the rabbi's speech, or you're sitting, whatever it is, we're always looking at the clock, when's it going to end? So I remember in my life, there was, you know, one or two times I remember when I had my first child. So it was after a few years of not having children. It was a big simcha. There's a minhag, some people have a minhag to stay up late at night learning, the night before the bris. So I remember that night. So a few times in my life that I really had such a, you know, such an experience with the learning. I was preparing something to say, and I ended up speaking, I think, for like 35 minutes at the bris. My father was like throwing tomatoes at me in the middle of the speech. He was just singing. You know, it was too long. It was on the regular weekday morning, but I was so pumped up from the whole night of learning. That was the one time, or a few times in my life, that I started learning like 11 o'clock at night, and I looked at the clock afterwards. It was 4:30 in the morning, but I thought it was still like 1 o'clock, and I couldn't believe it. So a few times, you know, but we should hopefully, you know, want to enjoy and want to be involved. When you love something, you never want it to end, and the time passes. So these, Talmid Chacham was so enraptured with the mitzvah of Sibur Tzion, with the Divrei Torah, and with the Emunah, and with speaking out, that they, mamish, time flew so fast, it was mamish morning, they didn't realize it. The whole night passed by. So hopefully we should, perhaps the reason this story is in the Haggadah is to inspire us that of what the night should be, not just looking and saying, when's the soup ready? Or tell the little kid to be quiet, you know, we got to get to the meal already, or whatever it is. All of a sudden everybody becomes a big litvak that we have to have the afikoman before chatzos. Everybody knows. So you got to finish, you got to have the meal. All of a sudden everything's, we're very medactic on those things. Lechatchil, that's the din. Lechatchil, you're supposed to have the afikoman before chatzos, but the evad yotze after chatzos also. The next paragraph talks about the din of zechiras yitzias time. It's a little bit strange. Why? There's a din of zechiras yitzias time every day in Shema. Shachas and Marav, you mention yitzias time. What's it doing in the Seder? That's a different mitzvah. Tonight's the mitzvah of Sipra, but Pashtus, it's just there to highlight how important Yetzias HaTzayim is. The fact that you have to mention it every day, morning and night. You have to mention it every day. That shows that it's really a fundamental ikar of our emunah. Anoichi Hashem Elokech Asher Otzoisicha Me'eretz Yitzrayim Beis Avodim, the first of the Ten Commandments. Right? It's a very big deal. Ani Hashem Elokech Asher Otzoisicha Me'eretz Yitzrayim. Somehow, the unity of God is often in the Torah wrapped up in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Somehow this was a seminal event in our history when we became a people. So even Zechiras Yetzirah, even though that's not the mitzvah of the night, that's the mitzvah every day. So it doesn't really belong here. So that's why we're including it. But I saw a beautiful, Rabbi Rasner actually mentioned, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Gutnik Haggadah, I guess, came out last year or two. Lubavitcher Rebbe says, why are you mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, Limos HaMashiach? Right? According to one opinion, in Yemos HaMashiach, we're going to still talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim? I mean, after witnessing what Mashiach's going to do, Kiyom, Tzeitzchon, I read on the flows, that redemption's going to be so over the top. You mean to tell me we're still going to care about Yetzias Mitzrayim? We're still going to care about that? We're still going to talk about that? So Baba Chirebi said something very deep and very beautiful. He says there's two ways that a person grows in life. There's two ways that a person accomplishes spiritually. One way is someone who's Moshel B'Yitzro. Someone who has a big Yetzirah to do wrong, and he conquers the Yetzirah and he achieves. But there's another person, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, who has already trained himself so much. He has already co-opted his Yetzirah. He has already conquered it so much. He no longer feels tempted by his Yetzirah. It's like natural for him. He doesn't have a taiva anymore, you know. He goes to the Daf Yomi ready for 15, 20 years. There's no taiva to sleep late anymore. That's just the way he is. He knows he doesn't have the taiva anymore. Another guy is still struggling. He's got to hit that alarm clock and hit the snooze button and get out of bed. He's a Moshel B'Yitzro. Somebody else, Mamish, he could succeed already. It's like Mamish, he has no Yetzirah anymore. Adarabi, he's angry when he misses it. It's like it's already become so. So says the Baba Chirebi, that's the difference between the two Geulas. He said the first Geula, Geulas Mitzrayim, we were going into a barren wasteland. We went out there, there was nothing. There was no food, no drink. We went totally on blind faith. A lot of people didn't want to go. 80% of the people didn't even make it out of Egypt. They didn't get out. They were killed off. They didn't believe. They didn't want to go. That was the type of Geula of Moshel B'Yitzrayim. We overcame, we accomplished. When it comes to Geula Asida, the Rebbe says, that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be so open and evident. No one's going to have any shaila. No one's going to have any question. People are going to be charging in the streets. It's going to be mamish, amazing. It's going to be something very, very different. But the Rebbe says, but when you become someone who it becomes natural to, you have to always remember your beginnings. Remember that you weren't always like that. Remember that you started off as somebody who actually was Moshel B'Yitzro. You should remember it. Wasn't always so pashut for you. Don't think like, oh, because this way you won't look down on people who are still struggling. You have to remember where you came from. And you should always be on guard that you shouldn't slip back into such a thing anymore. So the Rebbe says that's why even in Yemos HaMashiach we're still going to remember the old Geula. We should appreciate the time when we were Moshe B'Yitzro. Very, very fascinating, interesting idea. Which brings us to the four sons. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Shenas and Torah Yisrael Baruch Hu. So Salvechik said this is a Birchas HaTorah because there's a special mitzvah to be Melame Torah to your kids on Pesach night. Special mitzvah. Even though we all said Birchas HaTorah on Erev Pesach in the morning and we passed that you don't have to make a new Birchas HaTorah. If you learn Ira Salvechik understood there's a special key of mitzvah, part of the mitzvah of Sibri Tzias and Shayim. There's a special dimension here of teaching your children Torah, of teaching yourself Torah, teaching your friends Torah, teaching everybody at your Seder Torah. So that's why Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch, four Baruchs, connected to four Banim, a special din of Birchas HaTorah, Ke'ena, type of Birchas HaTorah. Well, I think it's more Al Derech HaDrush, but a special Birchas HaTorah as part of Sibri Tzias and Shayim, a special din of Limud HaTorah. And you know this theme, again, I don't have so much time again, I'm committed to ending by 10, but this theme of teaching Torah Seder night appears many, many times. I'll just diverge for 1 second now. The whole major part of the Seder, which everybody runs right through, is actually the most important part of the whole Magid, which everybody just jams right through. Those are the four Pesukim. I start the four Pesukim of Arami, Ovidavi, Vahir, Mitzvah, Vahir, Shem, Seva, Rahi, Shem, Vahir, Dol, Tzvah. And we'll see if I have a few minutes, maybe I'll speak about it. But just to take one idea of it right now, of Salvation developed the idea, why is it that that's the centerpiece of the whole Magid? If you look at the Mishnayos and Pesachim, that's Mamish, the centerpiece of the whole Magid. These four Pesukim. Four Pesukim. And what are these four Pesukim? It's when the guy bringing his first fruits recounts the story of the Exodus from Egypt in Parashas Kisavo, in Sefer Dvarim. If we're telling over the story, it's not, wouldn't you expect it to be parshas from Shmos, Vayera, Bo, B'Shalach? So Rav Salvechik, there are many answers to this, and perhaps if I have time later, I'll develop more ideas. Rav Salvechik said so beautifully. This is an encapsulation of the story. As a matter of fact, more or less, the first pasuk is parshas Shmos, the second parshas is parshas Vayera, the third pasuk is a summary of parshas, it's of parshas Bo, and the fourth pasuk is pretty much B'Shalach. I mean, Pachos al Yosef, a little bit more. It's like four different themes, right? It's the four stages that we spoke about before, basically. And so Salvechik said, and what do? We take each little word in the little pasuk, and then we refer back to the psukim in Shmos and Erebo Mishalach. Because that's what learning is. That's what Lamedus is. And the Baalei Haggadah, the Baalei Mesorah wanted that Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim should take place dafka through making drushos, through analyzing, through taking a little word and learning out something deeper from that little word. They dafka wanted to take place through Talmud Torah, because if this is the night that we're transmitting Amunah and transmitting all Torah ideals to our kids, the way we translate it is not just by eating bagels and lox and having them feel Jewish, but it's actually through the study of Torah, through teaching Torah to our children. So Seder night specifically, there's a special mitzvah of Talmud Torah, connected to our Rabbanim, and also through our Rami Ovidavi, through these parshas, we dash it, we all become like Tanayim. And when we quote the Pesukim from the Midrash and from the Sifri, we dash it out. Because we didn't just want to tell the story straight. You want to learn out the story, and analyze the story, and dash in the story, so that there's a dimension of Talmud Torah. Seder night. Rav Salvechik was very big on this. A couple of years ago, I said over Rav Salvechik Shir, nine aspects of that God. One of the aspects is Dafka through Talmud Torah. Dafka through Talmud Torah. So, the four Banim, it's interesting that we give the same answer to the Rasha and the She'enu Yadei Elisho. Same answer. If you got it to Levincha, Bayom Elohim, Bavurzeh, Sashem, Libetzeh, Sibim, Mitzrayim. The Rosh and the Shein Yilishos or Rav Hutner said the Pshat is that what do they have in common? Neither of them is asking a question. The Rosh and the Shein Yilishos, neither of them. So therefore, to them, you just have the regular mitzvah to tell your kids, to them, you just have the regular mitzvah. You don't have the inyan of teaching each child on his own level, because since they don't really want an answer, the Shein Yilishos doesn't know how to ask the question, the Rosh is not interested in an answer. So you don't give them an answer. You just tell them the standard din of Sibur Yitzias and Shayim. You have to tell them over the story. You don't respond to their questions. The Chacham, you respond to his question. And why Dafka? I saw this beautiful pshat. Well, first, Rav Asher Weiss wants to know, you know, both the Rasha and the Chacham use the word lochem or eschem, right? To you. When the Rasha says it, we get all angry with him, and the Chacham says it, we say he's a great guy, right? Ma ha'idos v'achukim ha'mishmash v'tziv ha'shal ha'kim eschem. What are these commandments that God commanded you by the Chacham? And the Rasha is ma'avados lochem. Oh, lochem v'lo. What's the... Why do we get so angry at the Rasha, not the Chacham? Rav Asher Weiss says... Where Razna quoted this also, Rav Asher Weiss says that the key is avoda. That the Chacham asks Maha Eidos Hachukim Hamishpatim, what are the halachas? He wants to understand them. He wants to know them. He wants to learn them. The Rosh says Maha Avoda Azos Lachem. Avoda has two connotations. Connotation number one, it's hard work. Back-breaking labor, I'm not interested in it. Avoda, what's this avoda? It's so difficult. The Yiddishkeit is so difficult. Like so many kids have the feeling that Yiddishkeit is a difficult thing. It's a burden. It's so hard to observe. And the other thing is, avoda means it requires actions. It's not enough to have a Jewish heart. Judaism believes in actions, avoda. So the Chumash is saying, I'm not interested in avoda. I have a Jewish heart. I have a Jewish mother and a Jewish father. I think like a Jew. I feel Jewish. I have my Jewish identity. So that should be enough. So that's what he says. No, that's why the Russia, we say, you obviously have the wrong take on this. I saw a beautiful idea from the Belzer Rebbe. Why Dafka the Afikoman? Do we talk to the Ben Chacham about the Afikoman? Why specifically the Afikoman, says the Belzer Rebbe? What's the idea of the Afikoman? The Seder night, the Hasidim write about this all the time, that the Seder night, the impact of the Seder night has, and it should have, whether you're a Chassid or not a Chassid, it should have an impact on you for a very long time in your family. It should be something that your family still feels the effects of and the feelings of and the amunah, the growth from for a long time afterwards. Like the Afikoman. The Afikoman, the reason we eat Afikoman at the end of the Seder is that the Tam Matzah should stay in your mouth at the end of the Seder. So we tell the Chacham, you can't eat after the Afikoman because you want the taste of the matzah to stay with you after the Seder. That's why the Afikoman has to be the last thing you eat. So we're telling the Rasha, we're telling the Chacham, Chacham, you want to get something out of this holiday, we hope, we pray, the Belzer Rebbe says, we pray that all your learning, whatever you do tonight, the feeling from it should stay with you after the Seder, like the Afikoman. Ein maftir nachar ha-Pesach afikom. Hagadah continues, Yochol ne'rosh chodesh, tamalom ba-yomahu. Yi ba-yomahu yochol mi ba-od yom, tamalom ba-avor zeh. You might think the mitzvah of Sibri Yitzchayim starts from Rosh Chodesh, you might think the mitzvah of Sibri Yitzchayim starts Erev Pesach, because that's when you shechted the Karban Pesach. Says no, pavur zeh. You have to be able to point to the matzah, like we said before. You only have a mitzvah of sipur yitzias tzrayim when you could actually point to the matzah. Why? Because sipur yitzias tzrayim involves an experiential component. Pavur zeh lo amati el b'shoshish matzah mor menachem lefanecha. We spoke about this before. And then we have mitchila over the avodah zara. You have a seinu, right? We start from the bed. We pointed out before that there was a third shot. We start from the bed from mechias Yosef. We start from the bed. What's machlokas, Rav and Shmuel? Are we highlighting the spiritual redemption more, or the physical redemption? Do we start from avadim hayinu, which is the physical redemption, or do we start from mitchila ovde avodah zara you have a seinu, which is the spiritual redemption? So I heard Rabbi Razner quoted a beautiful pshat over here. Shakadosh Baruch Hu chishev es haketz. The next paragraph. Baruch Shomer Haftachas Al Yisrael Amo. Baruch Hu, blessed is he who kept his promise. That's such a great thing. He kept his promise. He's supposed to keep your promise. No, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es Haketz Lasos. Shakadosh Baruch Hu calculated when the end was supposed to be. So the Haggadah's Tal Leoros asks, what do you mean he calculated when the end is supposed to be? We know that it was supposed to be 400. HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us early after 210. So what do you mean he didn't calculate the cates correctly? He actually let us out early. What do you mean he calculated the cates? So the Haggadah Talios gives a beautiful mashal to explain this. He says there was a man who had a son he wanted to marry off, and the man was getting old and he was dying, and he appointed a guardian to take the money that was going to be used for his son's wedding. You have to use his $20,000, you have to use it for my son's wedding. Fine, the guy dies, and the son is growing up, and he's almost ready to get married. All of a sudden, he gets stricken with a terrible illness, and he's going to die. He has medical bills, he's got to pay the doctors. So they go to this guardian and say, we need to use the $20,000 to pay the medical bills. The guardian says, no, I'm sorry. The father told me it has to be used for the wedding. So they say to him, you jerk. What do you mean? If you don't give the money to the doctors, ain't going to be no wedding. You got to use the money for the doctors. Got to make sure there's a wedding. Says the Sefer Talayoris, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chishev as HaKetz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, it was supposed to be 400 years ago. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized, if he would let it go to 400 years, they wouldn't be worthy of it. They were already at the 49th level of Tumah. So yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chishev as HaKetz. He wanted to get to 400, so you know how he got to 400? By letting him out after 210. Because if he wouldn't have let him out after 210, they never would have been at 400. That's the very fascinating mashal in the Sefer Talayoros. So we have a karas hatov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us. He didn't let us go all the way to the last level of Tumah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishev es haketz lasos. Even though he originally said it was going to be 400, he, in his mercy, let us out after 210 to make sure that we would get to a 400. That we would get there. He saw as the way things were going, they weren't even going to get there. I was at my son's Mishnah Siyum this past Sunday. Was anybody else there? Nobody else was there. So I spoke to you about, I spoke before about a sense of togetherness, right? So we're up to Vihisha Amda Lavasena Velanu Shelo Echad Bevana. Listen to this fascinating shot, Derech HaDrosh. Rabbi Block is one of the fourth grade rabbis. He didn't say we heard this from, but he said over this idea, I thought it was so beautiful, even though it's probably not pshat, but al derech hadrush, it's really, really beautiful. What did I say before about the sense of importance of the sense of unity and the sense of achdus, togetherness? Did I say something about that? I mentioned it before. Right, exactly right. That what started the whole, thank you, what started the whole thing off was strife. That's what started the whole thing, was brother against brother, Mechios Yosef, thank you. Says, said Rabbi Block, he quoted from somebody, V'hi sha'am de la'vosein v'lanu. This is what stood for our forefathers and for us. Shelo echad b'lvan amad alein l'chaloseinu, ela shebechol dar v'dar omad alein l'chaloseinu. Every generation they want to kill us. It's very strange, not in every generation. It isn't, we think it's not in every generation, but it really isn't. On some generations it looked like it's peace, like by Lavan. Looked like it was peaceful, Lavan. He really wanted to kill Yaakov underneath. Talk about that in a moment, but he said so beautifully, Shelo echad bilvad, omar aleinu l'chaloseinu. The only thing that can destroy us is Shelo echad bilvad. When we're not echad, Shelo echad bilvad, that's the only thing that can allow the nations of the world to get us. Is when we're Shelo Echad, Bilvad, Amar Aleinu L'chaloseinu. The only thing that ever destroyed the Jewish people is when we're Shelo Echad. I thought it was such a sharp, sharp idea. Ela Shebechol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'chaloseinu. Yeah, there's a lot to say. There's a lot to say. Tons more to say. But we'll try to abbreviate. I said before that right now we launch into the part of the Haggadah that everything is so crucial, is the Lima Torah. The Pasuk of Arami Oved Avi also that introduces this paragraph was said in the first person. Arami Oved Avi, my father was a wandering Aramite. It stresses the idea of Talmud Torah, and it also stresses the idea of Bikurim, that this was the feelings that the person who was bringing his first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash was expressing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he had that feeling of overwhelming joy in Akaras HaTov. Bikurim is all about Akaras HaTov. So when we say Arami Ovidov, we should A, Mamish feel like it's us. Arami Ovidov, Vayir and Mitzrayim, Vayir Hashem. I'm the guy bringing my first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, number one. Number two, it's for the sake of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that we take each word and learn it out to you. The other thing, and the third, is that we should feel like we're bringing our Bikurim. I will close. I will close with another idea that Rabbi Rosner quoted at the end of his drasha from Rav Avram Shor in the Haggadah of Halekach V'Alibo. We'll close with this. Time has run out. He says that on Echad Miyodeah, at the very end of the Seder. Right, it's very strange. What's that's going on? Echad mi yodea, echad ani yodea, echad al kinnish b'ashmai arad, shnayim mi yodea, shloshim mi yodea. So Rav Avram Shor quotes from his father, Rav Gedalia Shor. The Gemara in Menachos teaches us that why is there blue on the tzitzis? Why is there tcheles on the tzitzis? Because tcheles reminds us of the ocean, and the ocean reminds us of the rakia, of the heavens, and the heaven reminds us of the kisei hakavod. Esther of Gedalia Shor, but there's another Gemara that says that let's say there's a woman who's wearing a fine blue garment, so you shouldn't look at the colored garments of the women. The question is, what do you mean? Look at the blue garment of the women. I'm looking at the blue jacket. The blue should remind me of the... Why does the blue of the tzitzis only remind you of that, but the blue of looking at a woman's beautiful blue dress will not remind me of the tcheles, the yams? The answer is obvious. The answer is it all depends on what your perspective is. It all depends on what you're doing. If you're involved in doing a mitzvah like tzitzis, so the tcheles will remind you of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if you're involved in looking at a woman, which you're not supposed to do, so the tcheles is going to bring you the bad stuff. So Seder of Avram Shor. Echad mi yodea. We're supposed to be people. When you think of a number, what do you think of? One's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you think of two, what do you person? Two means shnei luchos habris. Three. Anything that we have in this world, when we think about it, automatically it should be masking us. When you're in Eved Hashem, when you think about something, it should always be masking you of something holy, of seven other days of the week, and six other days in the books of the Mishnah, five, four of the others. A person who lives a Torah way of life, everything he sees, is masking him something in Torah. And hopefully, we could acquire this sense of Yirah Shemayim Seder Night, the sense of Emuna, the sense of the transmitting of our Masorah, and hopefully we should be Zochah, Benisa Negalo, I'm saying that this Seder night, when we open up the door to greet Eliyahu Hanavi, he should mamish Bez Hashem be there.